Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. My name's David Reed. This is Merrick Larwood.
Hello, listeners. This is a podcast where we talk about a couple of films we've seen and we read some of your letters in between.
Yeah, that's about it. And then we leave. We leave you to your business.
And you think, have I learnt anything? Am I a better person?
And then you think, no.
I've just listened to people talk. And if I met them in a pub, I wouldn't even listen to their conversation. If I was on a bus and I heard these people talking, I'd put my headphones on. So why am I listening to it now? That's what you might think.
You might think. Or if you found us sort of buried under radioactive ash in the future, after the apocalypse maybe, and we are your only friends, then hi, keep strong, find water.
Imagine that if this was the only recording of humanity.
200 episodes of Film Fandango is all they had left.
Or just this one. That's really put the pressure on it.
Just this one.
This is the last. There's aliens listening to this trying to decipher what happened
here.
Yeah.
What happened here.
And we're the last two. So people think they either speak like me or like you. Or whatever accent
they
do.
They split off into factions. Ones who think that yours is the true voice and ones who think mine is. And they just... War starts again. Cyclical.
I wonder what pictures they draw of us based purely on our voices.
Well, I think you would look like some sort of lizard in armour.
What colour?
What, the armour or the lizard?
The lizard scales.
The lizard scales are a combo of pink and purple.
Nice.
And the armour is skin coloured.
That is nice. And then what would you look like?
I think I'd look like some sort of tiger samurai.
Oh, so you get the better one then?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that sold that then.
That's good. Well, hello. We're going to tell you about two films that may not have stood the test of time, future dystopia.
I just want to say to the person who's just survived the apocalypse into this.
Yeah.
You're better just killing yourself.
Don't say that.
I've watched...
They're the hope for mankind.
I've watched Threads...
Yeah.
And a few apocalypse films, and it never really turns out well.
No. I've watched a lot, and I think head west, and you'll find a compound where they've worked everything out. It'll take you approximately 2.5 hours, and then you'll find it. And you'll have to do some fights, and maybe your dog will die, but then you'll find it and it'll all be right.
Plant some seeds for the next generation.
Yeah, as you go.
God, what a depressing start.
Well, let's pick up with a really uplifting film that we've been to see.
We both went to see the same film, didn't we?
We did. That doesn't
happen often. Different cinemas.
What a waste of money. We both went to see 71.
It's been out. I'm not sure it's still out, but
it's been out a while now.
It got a limited release. Tell us, you're better at explaining things in general.
Okay. Well, 71 is a film set in 1971 in Belfast during the Troubles.
The Troubles.
A very patronising way of saying, you know, lots of violence and killing and death and stuff. The IRA, exciting. And it's about a British soldier who gets separated from his regiment after one of his regiment are killed, and he ends up in the middle of a hostile area of Belfast in 1971 all on his own, and it's just about him trying to survive, really. And which is, it's a really good setup, I think. it's got the simplicity you want for this kind of tense, claustrophobic.
What's fascinating about this film is that when you talk about a film set in Northern Ireland, there's a huge sway of politics that goes alongside it, like The Crying Game, Michael Collins, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And it's impossible to escape that. And my knowledge of it is sort of limited to growing up when I was younger and watching on the news and only being a kid and sort of knowing vaguely about it. It's quite embarrassing, my limited knowledge.
I mean, mostly I remember is they stopped having bins in train stations. That's all I can really remember.
This uses it as a backdrop.
That's all it is. And the rest feels more like The Raid than The Crying Game.
It's a thriller set in a sort of political... But there are elements of the divisions there...
Well, what's wonderful about it, I think, is the portrayal of a war zone, which is basically what it is, being chaos. As in, you don't know who is actually fighting for whom or for what or who you can trust or anything, and how it becomes every man for himself. And it's that I thought was interesting as a political statement, but that's all it needed to then have as a backdrop to an exciting thriller.
I thought this was brilliant.
Yeah, really, really good.
I thought this was the most original film I've seen this year. I cannot understand why it didn't get a big release or people going crazy about it.
Mm.
I thought the actors, the characters, the British soldier, he's played as a rough sort of northerner who's not necessarily...
He's from Derby County.
Oh, yeah, sorry, Midlands. It's played by someone called Jack O'Connell, who... It's a no-frills performance, which is really honest, and it's just that someone who doesn't, who's just taken from the army, plonked to someone where he doesn't has no real understanding of the divisions or what's going on.
He's been given sort of one induction seminar and been shown a map of where to go and where never to go, and that's it. Basically, that's as
himself,
far as his understanding goes of the whole situation.
So you have a real naive protagonist.
I mean, that's the rookie thing again, really,
but done in a much more interesting way.
Well, they instantly isolate him, so that is more interesting than him just being safely led by a team along the way.
And it's got so you've got people from both factions mixed, and it's all sort of quite complicated. Some brilliant performances. You might recognise Sean Harris, who's in Prometheus, who plays...
He's in better things than that. He's in 24 Hour Party People, and he's brilliant.
Oh, he plays a guy from Joy Division.
That's right. Yeah,
he's fantastic in this. Richard Dormer, who I love, plays a doctor in this. He's a you might know him. He was in Good Vibrations, and he's also been in Game of Thrones recently.
Oh, has he?
All the actors are fantastic.
Yeah, they are excellent, really good. And the it's just so. What I love about it is it's tense, but there is still humanity in everybody. They've just got their own motives that conflict with one another. In violent ways. That's all. You know, there is still the ability to take mercy on people, or to, you know, stick your neck out because it's what you should do, or what. You know.
But it's shot beautifully as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think you there's a chase scene. It's not too spoiled when they're running through basically the what's the name of the road that just divides.
Oh yeah.
The Catholics and the Protestants. Basically, they're running through that chasing the army, chased by two.
IRA guys.
People, yeah, and it's just a chasing where the houses they've knocked through the walls of the houses to make these sort of warrens,
yeah,
and you're walking through all these sort of Belfast back streets and in between houses. It's brilliant, a really properly exciting chasing. That's what it's like, and it's a whole new environment that was created through the Troubles in that time. I'm not really articulating very well, but it just was a fascinating backdrop for a thriller. And I felt totally original and was gripping, and you didn't need to know anything about the politics, but you became more interested in that as a result of watching the film.
Mm. Yeah. No, I mean, it's well worth seeing, I think.
And it hasn't done
amazingly
well.
It is a simple film, isn't it, as well, though? It's a small character's journey.
Yeah.
You know, there's no... epic nature to it at all, but I like that about it.
I would be interested to see what someone from Northern Ireland thought of this film, where they felt insulted or patronised by it. and they possibly might do.
I have no idea. Yeah, possibly. I don't know.
So if you are, and if you have been insulted or patronised by our review, please write in and tell us what you thought of 71.
Yes. It is proper good. I've sort of run out of things to say because I would go too much into spoiler territory, really. I'd recommend it. If it is still out there, then go track it down.
Yeah, it's worth going to see. And I don't understand why it wasn't didn't receive more plaudits. For a low budget, you know,
yeah,
film, it was great.
I like seeing Derby accents on the screen. You don't see it very often.
You don't see anything from Derby at all, do you?
Yeah.
And the director is a guy called Yann Demange. Do you know him?
Derby name.
He's done things like, he did a lot of TV stuff like Top Boy, Criminal Justice and Dead Set, stuff like that. So
he's okay, so he's
TV into,
but sort of they're classy, stylistic, yeah, you know, stylish looking TV things, aren't they?
I think he's one to watch out for.
Yann Demange.
So go and see 71. We're intrigued to know what you think about it. If you do want to write in, how do they do that?
You can email us, dearfilmfandango@gmail.com, or you can post things on our Facebook wall if you'd like to share things with other people. Go to facebook.com/filmfandango to do so. Or you can tweet us at filmfandango, at Mr. David Reed, or at Marek Larwood. And we also do this for free. So week after week after week. So if you would like to contribute to the running of this podcast so we can keep doing it week after week after week, then please do so. You can go to filmfandango.co.uk and follow the link from there. And thank you everyone who has. You are our favourite people.
Hey, you went to see another film, right?
I did go to see another film.
Tell me about it right now.
Right now.
Oh, we've got to do a letter first, shall we?
Yeah, have we got any?
I think we're getting quite short on emails.
Please write in with your theories that we can then ignore. No, we do really appreciate the letters, so if you've been thinking of writing for a while but haven't yet, then please do.
Read this one out loud, David.
I'll read it out loud with my neck. What voice am I doing? It doesn't say. I'll do this one that I appear to be doing already.
What's that? You're sort of South London, but can you do a Derby accent?
No, it's really hard, and I find it impossible. It's you know, Nottingham or Derby. It's really difficult. I can't do it.
Midlands. Can you do a Midlands?
No. No, I've never been there, and I never will. There's no reason to go there.
So if you're looking to cast David Reed in your film set in Derby, Nottingham, not suitable.
No, just get Paddy Considine. He's much, much better.
Okay.
Hi, Marek, David, Buddy, and anyone else present at the podcast recording. I watched a couple of documentaries this weekend, which I'd really recommend, and don't remember whether you've discussed previously on the podcast. You've Been Trumped and Tim's Vermeer. If you haven't seen them, then do! One is the horrifying story of the way in which a few people were treated simply because they happened to live where Donald Trump wanted to build a golf course in Scotland, as well as the environmental damage of the development and the seeming complicity between the Scottish government and the Trump organisation. Donald Trump actually asked the BBC not to show the film, so you know it's got to be good. The other is about a man who comes up with a technique by which Johannes Vermeer, 17th century Dutch artist of Girl with a Pearl Earring fame, might have painted incredibly realistic pictures using mirrors and lenses, and the ridiculous lengths that he goes to try to recreate one of Vermeer's paintings. He spends most of a year building a room that is identical to the room in the painting. I realise this doesn't sound fascinating, but it really is. And funny too. Favourite line, Vermeer painted with light. You can't paint with light, you have to paint with paint. Also, I watched Upstream Colour recently and absolutely loved it. I really got so much out of just taking it in without much understanding of the story. And then I spent ages reading about how different people had interpreted it and found all of that fascinating too. In contrast with Primer, I found that it didn't matter that I didn't understand what was going on because the atmosphere was great, whereas I just felt confused while watching Primer and only really got enjoyment from reading about it after the film. That was a longer email than I expected to write. Edit out as much of it as you want. We have edited out none. So that it doesn't take up the whole podcast. Bad luck. Cheers, guys. Keep watching the films. Dave. You've seen Upstream Colour, haven't you?
Yes, it's I think it's Shane Carruth, who's this new auteur who just goes and makes films on cameras he's found in a bin or something. But he's really he's a guy who directs it, writes it, produces it.
Sort of fearless in his, you know, there's no commercial pandering. He's doing what he wants to do, which is quite exciting.
And we've talked about Upstream Colour before, which we talked about Primer before, which is this time travelling film, which is you see the last version of the film after.
As in, every time somebody travels through time and changes something, then you see it. So you only see the moments in their current incarnation. So you have to piece together the story from that, which is quite an interesting idea.
Upstream Colour is a lot more accessible.
Is it?
That.
Okay.
But it's still, what's fascinating about him is, rather than, you know, when you leave the cinema, you really know you don't know what's happened.
Yes.
And what he changes the way you watch film, so you actually want to read up exactly how what David Christian said. You watch the film,
yeah,
and instinctively you've got your thoughts about it, and you realise there's this whole world of theories and ideas on the internet, and that becomes just as fascinating and part of the process of watching the film.
So I actually enjoyed Primer far more after reading Wikipedia. In fact, I enjoyed reading the Wikipedia after it more than I enjoyed watching the film.
Yeah, you don't enjoy the first film. You think, I don't know what is going on.
Well, it's just like reading a riddle without the answer, you know. That, but it's
watching an episode of 3-2-1.
But it's a different experience, and that's interesting. That's very interesting. In terms of the other two, I've not seen either of them, but I've also had Tim's Vermeer recommended to me by other people. So I will try and track that down and watch it, because it sounds fascinating if it could possibly be true that he actually developed an incredibly complicated way of tracing his paintings, not painting by eye, which is what is suggested. It's actually almost mechanical process. And apparently this guy who had this idea, maybe this is how Vermeer painted, and so did it, could create incredibly accurate-looking Vermeers through his process. So, possibly.
Is it? I went to, talking about paintings and light, the other week when my nephew was down, I took him to Wembley to see the American football.
Yes,
which you came to as well. The Detroit Lions' amazing victory, last second victory.
Yeah.
But I took him to the NFL fan rally in Trafalgar Square, which was awful. But I said, "Oh, we're right by the National Gallery. Should go in." Obviously, he's 16. He's not really interested. So we walked through a lot of paintings. In the, you know, I think it was 1600 to 1700.
Yes.
And what was amazing, I think as you get older, you appreciate art more, was the use of the lot, how they managed to
they
fabricate
glow,
that.
Don't yeah. they? They almost glow. And that is just pure skill of the brushwork.
Pure skill of replicating the light with just on paint. When you think the skill is incredible.
Yeah. The subjects are macabre and boring by and large. It's like some posh blokes or a religious figure, but the actual skill for loads of them, you know, because you were only allowed to paint religious.
But that's the
pictures.
Thing. But they would have stories. You have to know the symbolism.
Yes.
So you know, there's the half-eaten apple.
Well, they're all like puzzles as well, aren't they? They're like an Osborne puzzle adventure page or something, where you go, well, what's the apple mean, and what's that dog mean, and what's the way that person's looking or leaning,
and where it's positioned, and if a religious artifact's upside down or it's broken or it's on its side. You don't know that.
Hugely elitist.
Yeah.
If you don't know this stuff, then you're just not in the club.
Well, you can't enjoy it properly.
No.
Unless you've got a tour guide saying, this means this, and here's the backstory. Then it becomes interesting.
Yeah, yeah. And then you also get the things where the painter has been cleverer than the person who's commissioned it and put in satires and things into it. But no, absolutely. Tim's for me, interested in both of them.
And I've read articles on the... I read a lot, I think it was a few years ago that came
out. You've been trumped.
Yes, because from what I've read, because it was quite a big story, that he just wanted to have this golf course, wanted to buy up people's homes and didn't give a shit about them.
Throw money at the problem. Yeah,
awful. Didn't have any man without any morals who was happy to destroy people's lives, and everyone was saying he was a total arsehole.
Yeah.
It was quite a big thing when it came out. But he got away with it.
Are we surprised by that? I mean, surely everyone knows that about Donald Trump.
Yeah.
I hope they won. I don't know what happened.
Well, watch You've Been Trumped.
Yes. I've also seen another film. Is that the last letter? Are we done there?
We need some more letters.
We do. Listeners, dear listeners, please email us. that address again, dearfilmfandango@gmail.com.
Or if you're the person at the end, the last person left,
the last person left alive, then I'm sorry, you can't email us.
I wonder if there's...
But please do, stay warm.
Imagine if this is there and they thought, you know what? I'm not even going to listen to that anymore.
Their only hope is to email dearfilmfandango@gmail.com. They've convinced themselves that that is the way that they will be rescued. Just waiting day on day for that reply that never comes.
I like to think this podcast had some sort of purpose.
Yeah. Saving that one person's life.
If this has somehow saved your life...
and we are long dead, then good luck.
You build a statue of a massive lizard and a samurai tiger. So what did you go and see?
I went to see a film called Northern Soul.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Northern Soul is a British, I suppose you'd call it, independent film, because it's made by Baby Cow, I think. It's Henry Normal and all of that lot. Speaking
it's
of Nottingham
release.
Folk. Yes, it is. It's a new release.
I've not even heard of this at all.
It's about the, I think, 1970s Northern Soul movement in the north of England, which is what Americans call Motown. And we called it Northern Soul because it got popular in the north in this country long before it spread to popularity elsewhere. And this is a story about a boy, basically... set to the background of the Northern Soul movement.
Good soundtrack, I'll bet.
Incredible soundtrack. Absolutely brilliant. Sort of, you know, they were never going to go wrong with that. I mean, they've just got the best Northern Soul stuff to put on there. It's actually the debut of writer-director Elaine Constantine.
Oh, yeah.
Which is interesting because it's brilliantly directed... beautiful. I mean, the DOP is amazing and the acting is all fantastic as well.
But it's boring, right?
It's slight, is its problem.
Is it just a boy who gets into music, finds a new community,
a boy
gets into
who,
and really likes
a
it?
A boy who is slightly awkward and strange at school and then ends up meeting somebody and getting really into Northern Soul
sure
music.
Have seen this film before?
Yeah, well, that is exactly its... problem and its only problem. Like, it is a it's a really well acted and executed journey. It's just the journey itself you have seen before.
Geeky boy comes of age, meets a whole new community, gets into music, and finds himself.
Gets together with a girl. One of his friends dies, and you know, it's the usual. Gets into drugs, and they're great at the beginning, and then they turn out to not be so great.
Hey, watch out for spoilers, man.
Yeah, well, this is my problem. It's not really spoilers because it is that getting into the music scene story that we've seen again and again and again, and this doesn't add anything other than fantastic performances and really good soundtrack.
Who else is good in it?
Well, the main guy is an actor called... Sorry, I forget his name. Let me look him up.
Is it Elliot James Langridge?
That's him. Steve Coogan's in this as well as the school teacher, who's fun. He's not in it that much, but he's good. And there's a guy called Josh Whitehouse. And Lisa Stansfield is in this as his mum, who is really good, and she's not in it enough.
She's done acting before, isn't she?
She was just...
I'm sure she was in stuff ages ago, and she was quite good.
Well, quite possibly. She started out as a singer. She won a singing competition when she was young, and that sort of propelled her pop career.
And does she sing as well in it?
No, she doesn't.
Just acting.
James Lance is in it.
As a DJ. Ages ago.
Yeah. Was he?
He was in... Alan Partridge, wasn't he, as well?
He's in all sorts of things. He's one of these guys who crops up again and again.
I wish I could be one of those guys.
Yeah, one day, you'll give up. My problem is this: this film hasn't given me much to talk about. I mean, the Northern Soul movement I still don't feel much more enlightened about, because it's not really about that. It's just the background of it. So you don't get a sense of how big a movement it was. It's not like 24-hour party people, where you really got a sense of this is becoming massive. It's becoming bigger than the individuals involved in this story. And that isn't the case in this. It's just about a kid who got into it. He was sort of one of the first to start getting into it, but he wasn't the one who made it popular. And then his story sort of comes to an end once he's found his self-confidence. And that story's fine, but it's just not interesting enough to make it a classic movie. It's a really well-told one, and if you've got a spare couple of hours and you track it down, then do watch it, because it is enjoyable, but there's an element missing, I think, to make this truly great.
Is it just a nostalgia fest for people who like Northern Soul and were around in the 70s?
I'm sure it will be. I'm sure that's the case. I mean, the costume's all brilliantly done and the look of it's fantastic. And, you know, but you never feel like this movement is exciting. It's, you know, the discos all feel, the dances all feel a bit school disco-y, you know. It always feels small, it always feels parochial, because it probably was at the time, but it's almost like it's playing it safe, I think is probably what it is. That, you know, this is a debut of a director, and she's written a safe screenplay to get it made, you know. It does exactly what a screenplay should do.
You can't play safe,
I mean,
in this world, man.
Yeah, but I think still want to watch, because she's done a brilliant job with this, and as a debut, fantastic, and using largely unknown actors as well. I mean, there's a guy from Hollyoaks in it, but he's really good. It's
Elaine Constantine.
Yes.
Well done, Elaine.
Well done, Elaine.
So
I'm a big fan of Motown music, so that was hugely enjoyable.
How many Davids?
That's tricky. I think this is a solid 6 or 7, you know? It's not going to go bigger than that for me, but it was enjoyable, but it is just... I won't remember it. I won't remember much about it in a month
off
or two.
Tomorrow.
Well, possibly, you know, I think that's the thing. I enjoyed the journey, but there was nothing to take with me afterwards. There was no goodie bag.
Like going to the supermarket.
I enjoyed the jelly and ice cream. I enjoyed the cheese on sticks, but there was goodie bag at the end.
You hate the company in the toilets.
Is that how you felt about kids' parties? You hate the company?
Yeah.
Oh, really? The people at this party?
It's too competitive. And it's not a meritocracy. All the games are designed so the birthday kid wins.
Yeah.
And a lot of them, you can be really good at playing part of parcel, and yet it just comes down.
Were you one of those kids who really flung the parcel quickly as soon as they
no,
were handed
I wasn't,
it?
I didn't. I used to like musical statues. I tried really hard at, and dancing competitions. But
I was always bad at musical chairs.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite tough.
I'm not very quick at sitting down.
It's quite a horrible thing when the chair's gone.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
It's momentary decisions. If you choose to go for the wrong chair...
Yeah, that's it.
And someone else goes for it, you're done.
And you're left ostracised with everyone staring at you.
An awful bit, you have to go sit down. It is... Birthday parties... I mean, it's perfect training for... the future of... You think it's going to be fair, but all decisions come down to the whim and the fancy of one adult who's in charge of the music.
The and one who was born into privilege.
Yeah.
Whose parents organised this party.
And no matter what you do, you can play the game as fairly as you like. You can train for years. All it comes down to is that one rich person's finger. And that is... Well, that's what life's
that's
about.
That's what life's about.
How many Davids did you give 71?
Oh, I think 71's an 8 for me.
I gave it a 9, didn't I?
Yeah. Well, that's my opinion on Northern Soul. I mean, it's a really well made film, and if you like that music, then it will be a nostalgia trip for you.
Well, this could be the last film Fandango because of the apocalypse.
That's true. I mean, who knows when it will happen, but it could be tomorrow.
That's a shame.
That is a shame. But stay strong. Keep away from the scavengers who wear largely American sports gear and carry swords.
This is advice for the last person on earth.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, not for just you guys. Well, it's pretty good universal
advice. What advice should I give? Don't start doing crosswords, because there's nothing more annoying than doing it, then you think, I don't know whether what the answer is.
And there's no one left who could tell me.
Yeah, if you find a crossword, I think, oh, this will be a good way of spending my... I've got a lot of spare time.
Yeah.
I'll do this as a way of passing the time. And you realise that you're not going to find tomorrow's newspaper or all the answers ever.
Yeah.
So I think my
genuine piece of advice for a post-apocalyptic world is don't hang out in the featureless desert because it will really get you down. Just go find the sea and live by that because that'll always look nice, won't it?
It changes every day. Except what will happen is you'll be by the sea and it will just be continually washing corpses and dead matter.
That's exciting. That's like pass the parcel every
and
morning.
Great disease.
What will be washed up this week, children?
I don't care. Some remains of some people I went to school with.
Brilliant. I'll tick them off my list. I'm keeping busy. All right, we'll be back next week with more films and depressing dystopian.
Keep surviving or
keep watching the films. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.